Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave your apostles grace truly to believe and to preach your word. Grant that we might love what they believed and preach what they taught through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I am so very proud of you. I'm proud to stand beside you as a laborer in our Father's vineyard. Last year, through ARDF, you and I touched the lives of people around the world. From Nepal to Angola, from Argentina to Uganda. We helped people in Guatemala, Ukraine, Madagascar, and Mozambique, just to name a few. Through our support of Tools for Hope, we provided farmers in Rwanda with tools and other resources. We helped those in Texas and North Carolina whose homes had been damaged by storms and natural disasters. Through our partnership with Russ and Heidi, we impacted the lives of people in Chile. Notably, we helped save the eyesight of a young Chilean girl. We also touched the lives of the needy right here in our neighborhood. We provided a weekly mobile food pantry, bringing groceries almost to the very front door of those in need. We gave those same families backpacks filled with school supplies. We helped provide Thanksgiving dinner for over 30 families, and we gave them stockings for Christmas. We provided diapers and wipes and other funds to needy children and their families through ARDF. Through Anglicans for Life. But most importantly, we ministered the love of Christ to them with these things, and we also shared the gospel of Christ in words, in our actions, and through our prayers. You deserve a pat on the back for that. I'm proud of you. But that's not the only reason that I mention these things. I'm reminding you of them because I want you to see the cumulative effect of our efforts to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to those on our doorstep and to those around the world. Thanks be to God for giving us the opportunity to minister His love along with Him. This is what God does. He calls us to join Him in His mission. He calls us to take part in what He's doing. In the beginning, God breathed life into Adam and Eve, and He blessed them. But that's not the end of it. He commands them to be fruitful and multiply. God has work for them. He wants them to bless the land. God wants them to take part in creation. He wants them to be part of His mission. God's blessing to Abraham is a call to mission. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great.'" Doesn't end there, though. Why? Why will He bless Abraham and make his name great? "So that you will be a blessing. And that through you, all families of the earth shall be blessed." God gave His promise of blessing to Abraham so Abraham could join God in blessing the world. We see this in the New Testament as well, in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus takes the pieces of loaves and fish and He gives them to the disciples to distribute. This is no accident or incidental fact thrown into the story for no reason. Jesus wants them to be involved. He wants them to join the work that He is doing. God wants to include us in what He's doing. He wants us to take part in the salvation of our neighbors and those in faraway lands. God wants to include us in what he's doing. In our gospel passage for today, Jesus seems to be elbowing his disciples. Hey, do you see what I see? Matthew tells us, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Here's where the elbowing them comes in. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers out into the harvest." As Jeff Foxworthy would say, here's your sign. In the very next chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus sends these disciples out to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand, and to heal the sick and raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and to cast out demons. These are the very same things Jesus has been doing. Christ wants them to join in doing the same work that he's doing. It's awe-inspiring if you think about it. Jesus wants them and us to take part with him in the redemption of the world. It's awe-inspiring, and it might be a little frightening too. Unless we remember that he is also in his field, working right beside us. In Acts, Jesus tells the disciples in turn, and in us in turn, that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit to do the work he's calling us to do. There's one place we can look for an example of how best to do what Christ is calling us to do. How to best love our neighbors. How to best serve the sick and those in need. There's one place that best displays what it means to share the gospel with the world around us. That one place is the cross of Jesus Christ. Over the past several years, I've come to a deep love of the crucifix. Not simply the wooden cross alone, but the cross with the body of our Lord. I love the crucifix because the body of Christ is there. It's present. It reminds me that God doesn't simply look down on us with pity, snap his fingers, and fix the problem of our sin. No. He gets up. He puts his work clothes on, and he gets down into the pit with us. He comes down to us. He comes down to our level. He comes to our house. He doesn't act like a monarch who sends her armies to colonize and control. He sees our pain, our need, our brokenness, and he joins us in it. We learn from the example of the cross that mission is first and foremost incarnational. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." In another place, Jesus commands, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." We're called to roll up our proverbial sleeves, put on our work boots, and get to work. To be present to the needs of our neighbors on our doorstep, around the corner, and around the world. And we're called to both prayer and work. You might be thinking, "But I can't go. I can't travel to faraway places." Don't worry, we'll get to that in a moment. But before we move on, I want us to take one more observation about what the cross reveals to us about the character of mission. Mission requires sacrifice. My hope and my prayer for all of us is that participation in the mission of the gospel won't require our physical deaths. But it has for some. I think of Lizzie Atwater and her family who perished at the hands of the Boxers during the Boxer Rebellion in China in the late 1800s and early 1900s. I think of Jim Elliot, who along with four other missionaries were killed by the very people he came to share the gospel with. Sometimes the mission of the gospel requires our lives. For the largest majority of us, it does not. But the gospel always requires some sacrifice from us. It might require you to sacrifice your time or your money, your comfort, or any other number of things. The cross's example reveals that mission requires sacrifice and presence. But let's take some time here to consider how being present in mission might look different for each of us. St. Paul offers some guidance. He writes to Christians in Corinth and he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers all in everyone. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are one body of believers in Christ, but each of us has different talents, gifts, and abilities to serve the work of God. Some of us have time to give, but no money. Those of us with time should give it generously. We should be content with the resources God has given us to help us accomplish His work. For those of us who have means to give money to mission, we should give that money generously with a joyful heart. And we must make sure to stay connected with the work that's being done and the workers who are doing the work. When we can, we should engage with them. We should pray for them, for their effective ministries, for their safety. And we should pray that they would not grow weary in doing good. Those of us with talents and skills should bring those abilities to work, to the work of the mission. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and contractors, come, join the mission. Those who are good at organizing people or events, we need you. Cooks, bakers, gardeners, homemakers, teachers, landscapers, and auto mechanics, come give your talent to those in need for the mission of the kingdom. There's a lot of work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It may not always be really visible, but it's all around us, this work, those in need. As I've said, we've done a lot of good work over the last several years, and there's more to be done. If you're not part of the work, there's lots of ways you can get involved in mission. You could help out. You could hand out groceries on Tuesday afternoon with the mobile food pantry at Madison Place. You could teach ELL English classes or teach children in formations classes. You could even volunteer just to sit with young children during formation. You could write a note to those who join us online but can't join us in person or take communion to them. You could join ARDF on a trip to help rebuild a community after a natural disaster. There are those here who have done that. You can speak with them about that or with one of the priests. You could help build up the church in Chile with Russ and Heidi Smith. No matter what, you can do what all of us should do. You can pray. And prayer is not nothing. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. We should pray for those who we support with our time, money, and other resources. Pray that their ministry would be effective. Pray that they would have the resources they need. Pray that God would open doors for them to share the gospel. Pray for those serving in countries where they must put their lives on the line for the sake of Christ. But pray close to home too. Pray for those in your neighborhood. Pray for those in the homes around the church. Pray for the people at Madison Place. Not only that they would receive the gospel of Christ, but also that their needs would be met. That they would find stable jobs to provide for their families if they're without work. And pray for those in your closest mission field, in your home. As Saint Benedict would say, pray and work. There are any number of ways to get involved. Maybe nothing I said piques your interest. No worries. There's something for you. Call the office and set up an appointment with one of the priests to discuss ways you can be part of the work God is doing here in the world, doing in the world and right here in our neighborhood through apostles. We're happy to talk. Amen.